glory. If you wonder if this ministry is making an impact, here's proof. If you wonder if this ministry is making a difference in the lives of the people who attend, here's proof. If you're wondering if our labor and efforts are valid, here's proof. This is a praise report. Sister Sharon shared it with us. Brother Joshua and Sister Tracy prayed for a young woman who was going to the doctor the next day due to a cancer scare. Tracy laid hands and felt hot. The woman said all she felt it also, and had tears in her eyes. After the appointment, she texted Tracy, "I'm good." Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. Say thank you for the healing in our hands. Thank you for releasing healing. Healing in our hands. We shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Hallelujah. 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 We shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Glory. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you thanks. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Special one. This is from little O2. So at QLM, he shared that he had this guy that was bullying him. So the brethren chimed in and gave him some advice and all. And so the next week, we asked him how things were, and it had gotten better. The boy was still acting up a little bit. So now it's come to this place. The boy who's mean to me is nice. And it's either, if I'm reading it right, and I played with him and he believes in Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on. That's how you handle the bullies. Talk about Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. So we rejoice with them in Jesus' mighty name. Because the Lord our God is great. Sunday evening after 120 Live, I was walking around my neighborhood. Two souls came to Christ.
Glory.
Jesus.
Woo!
And then yesterday, Brother Ian went to Pit High. Two more souls came to Christ.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Later that day, we met up and went to Antioch High. Passed out free candy bars. Hallelujah. And seven more souls came to Jesus.
Glory.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's Brother Kwame.
Glory.
and Brother Ian reaping the harvest. Go out and get some candy bars. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's 104 total souls this year. God be the glory. Come on, a goal has been set for 1,000. Glory to God. This is the third month. We got 9 more months. Tonight, one by the name of Sylvia Chavez. Welcome, Sylvia, in the wonderful name of Jesus. We thank you for coming to fellowship with us. How did you hear about us? Deacon Aquino.
Sister Kay's co-worker,
man. Oh, that's Sister Kay's co-worker. Welcome in the wonderful name of Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. So you get the night off and she has to work? We welcome you. Thank you for coming to fellowship with us tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. And then I hope I pronounced this name right. I was told it's Antoinique Carlton. Did I pronounce it right? Okay, welcome in Jesus' mighty name. And how did you hear about us? That guy next to you? Jeremiah. Woo! Look at him. He got a big smile on his face, too. Welcome in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for coming to fellowship with us. We pray that you're blessed tonight. In the name that's above every name. And if you have any prayer requests, don't hesitate. We'll be glad to come into agreement with you concerning the matter. We believe that our God answers prayer now. Not just next week or in the future. He'll answer the prayer right now. Hallelujah. So we bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus and pray that you are blessed. Amen. I think those are the announcements. Other than this, and I see that obviously they were praying over this flyer. This coming Saturday, March the 21st, whoever is available, we'd like to send a team out for the prayer walk that's going to be taking place. The meeting place is Antioch City Hall. It's at 700 West 3rd Street. And they're going to be praying over City Hall and downtown Antioch. They say, please bring walking shoes and water. And standing in agreement on the scripture out of Matthew 21:22. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Now I shared with he was at QLM, Brother Anthony Gross, and also today with Brother Mike Pollard, that a group from TFT was going to go out with them on the prayer walk because we believe that God is making headway. So don't let me down. Don't let Jesus down. Don't let the ministry down. Rep, 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 rep. We have nothing to be ashamed of, everything to be proud in a good sense of what the Father's doing in our midst. Because some of these individuals are not spirit-filled. They don't pray in tongues. And for some, they despise us or think very little of us because we do. They say all manner of things. We don't teach, we're wild, we're loud, we're this, we're that. But talk is cheap. If they had any credence, I think that's the right word to use, or any validity or any proof, that would be one thing. And if they can find in the word where we're wrong, boy, we would humbly repent and get right with God. Because we choose to be right with God rather than to be right with man. Hallelujah. So when you find something that we're doing that we're not supposed to be doing, we'll humbly change our direction and go in the right direction. But if we're doing the will of God, We're supposed to do it with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Amen? I say that because we're making headway with some of these individuals. And even those that may have spoken against, yet there are others around them that are highly impressed with the way we do things. Brother Mike Pollard, some of you know him, some of you don't. He's been here before. He's been here maybe once before. He is a Baptist. And they don't believe in speaking in tongues, but they are not against those that do speak in tongues. And so he knows we're Pentecostals. He knows that we're loud and we love to praise God. And he likes us, even though he doesn't agree with everything that we agree with. We don't agree with everything they agree with. We don't agree that they agree that they don't think tongues is for today. We don't agree with that, but I still love him as a brother in the Lord. But Preacher Man has made a great and lasting impression on his life. And he loves the way Preacher Man prays. He prays with passion. He prays and he covers everything. So while we were talking today, he was sharing with me that there was a Catholic priest who was highly offended with Preacher Man last year. And so all he could do is throw stereotypes at him, like he's emotional and all he does is rile the people up. And Brother Mike said, but how can you say that? What did you pray over, the schools or what? He hit the school district. He prayed for all of the leaders that are in the school district. He prayed for the students. He covered everything. How can you say that that's emotionalism? I said, Brother Mike, he prayed with content. It's one thing just to get up there and make a whole lot of noise. That's emotional. But if we pray with content, specifics, and we make that noise, oh, we are most effective. Hallelujah. We are most effective. Glory to God. We're excited and we believe in what we pray, and we pray with the authority and power that Jesus gives us. And so he's like, yeah. And share some other things with him. He's like, you encourage me, Pastor Killings. I love you. So he has been responsible. And we believe in the healing power of God. So before he left the office, I got a chance to pray with him concerning his healing, because he's been diagnosed with congestive heart failure. And, you know, he could drop at any moment, and he's content with that. Takes medication and all, but God is using him. And I told him, I said, because everybody has this, I shouldn't say, well, I'll say it like this. Many have embraced that Antioch is so bad that it's like there's no hope for it. But I had to remind him of what the word says, and the word says where sin abounds, the grace of God much more abounds. And just because right now in the natural it doesn't look like you're making any headway, if you stay with it, you're going to see the manifestation of your labor. It's not going to be in vain. And so I got a chance to pray with him and pray for his healing, and prayed also that the Lord would let him see the effects of his labor in calling people together, not from all faiths. He says they could come, but they're not going to leave. I don't believe in that. I only believe that there's only one way to God. I'm stuck on that. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and I'm stuck on that, and I can't have anybody else coming up here. Even if the priests want me to open it up to other beliefs and all, he's like, no. So Preacher Man is making an impact, and once again this year he's going to be leading in a specific area. I don't know what that area is, but I know it's going to be effective. And so that's going to be May the 7th. That's on a Thursday, and I believe that's the same day as the National Day of Prayer. From 7 to 9 o'clock at Lone Tree Golf and Event Center. Ticket price is $18 a person. So for those of you who are interested in going, you can contact Brother Mike. We'll leave a flyer over there at the table. You can take the information off of it and go ahead and get your tickets and come in to pray. With this prayer walk, Brother Anthony Gross, I'm not sure if he's baptized with the Holy Ghost or not. However, when the preacher man led a group and they were praying in tongues, some of the people in, I guess it was the other group or was it in your group? They were highly impressed. They were like, wow. How do you know? Because he told us. Not only did Anthony tell us, but Mike told me today. Man, they were impressed. I mean, they just, you know, they were just excited about the way he prayed. And, you know, because people aren't used to that. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much, makes tremendous power available. But some don't know how to tap in and pray with specificity or pray with authority or pray according to the will of God. And so when they hear somebody, they're like, whoa. And when he said that about the priest, I'm like, well, what in the world kind of prayers do he pray? Because if he couldn't recognize what preacher man was praying, I'm sure everybody in the room understood what he was praying that day when he prayed. So much so that it got a little loud in that place. It got loud. People were in agreement and people were excited about what we were praying about, as opposed to some prayer that's read. And that was another thing Brother Mike said. And he didn't even have notes. He prayed out of his heart. It concerns me when I see people get up there with a list to pray. Anybody can go up there and read words. Just because you read words doesn't mean you get through. You have no idea what's in that person's heart. But he's like, he didn't have any notes. And he covered everything. And he called out by name, making an impact. So engage in this prayer walk this coming Saturday. It's going to be good. Praying for the city. God's going to bring change and he's going to bring deliverance. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We also have up and coming April the 5th, Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Resurrection Sunday is coming. We want this to be the greatest Resurrection Sunday we have experienced in the history of the ministry itself. We want to see God move mightily. This coming Sunday, we'll begin a fast. Now, for some of you, you may be able to go straight through 15 days. You can do it liquid. You can do it fruits and vegetables. You can fast from a breakfast, fast from a lunch, fast from a dinner. You make the choice. Whatever you decide to do, between you and the Father, you seek him and ask him, how would you have me to fast? Because when he tells you, he's going to give you the ability to be able to do it. How would you have me to fast? Partial fast, complete fast, liquids only, water and bread. You want me to fast from television, because I watch too much of it. I'm going to fast from music because I ain't listening to the right kind of music. Garbage in, garbage out. Hallelujah. I'm going to fast from movies. What is it that you want me to fast from? Because whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. So from this coming Sunday up until Resurrection Sunday, we're going to go on a fast as a church. Amen. Every joint supply and every part does its share. Don't think that you cannot fast. You can. It may be one thing. It may be a multiple of things. It may be half a day. It may be a full day. It may be just one meal that you fast from. But fast. Amen? Join in. We want to see greater manifestations of God in our midst, in our times of coming together. We want the glory of God to be revealed and His power to be made known. As God is my witness, tonight's message was going to be, if we do get there, out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, as well as, I believe it's 2 Chronicles chapter 6, where Solomon had prayed, and then the glory of God fell. So when I came in here and you were singing, "Show me your glory," God was coming with an answer. Okay, I'm going to show you my glory. But you make sure that you're ready. Because when I manifested in Solomon's day, nobody could minister. The weight of the glory had the priest laid out. Nobody could go forth. We might get there tonight. We still got some time. Why don't you give me some offering baskets up here so we can bring an offering to the Lord? So, we want to see God move in a greater measure and to a greater degree. We also have in sync, I'll just use that word, with Resurrection Sunday, Resurrection Seed Offering. And so this coming Sunday, we'll be getting packets out to you. 30 years ago, Pastor Rod was living in an apartment, single, and he needed God to move. They were trying to expand their building, and they needed finances to do that. They needed about $100,000 to do that. And he was in his apartment, and he was seeking God, sitting in his chair. And he said, "Lord," and he was looking in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, dealing with the tithes and the offerings. And he said, "Lord, this is not working for me." Some of you may have been there as well. How do you know this? Because when a crisis hits, one of the first things that comes out of my mouth is, "Well, Lord, I tithe." And when you say, "Lord, I tithe," it's like, this is not supposed to happen to me because I tithe. In other words, "Lord, if this happens in my tithes, it's not working for me." So he spoke to the Lord about that, and the Lord told him while he was in that chair, he says, every year at this time, you celebrate what my son did for you. It was my gift to you. He gave his life that you might have salvation. And he said, "I gave my best for you. And what I want you to do is every year at this time, I want you to bring your best to me. You have been giving me your tithes. But what I want you to do now, your tithe is 10% and you keep 9%. He says, but what I want you to do is I want you to bring the whole thing and lay it before me. This is no time to let your hands go down. Raise your hands up. Because what happened was, not only did he receive it for himself, but he came and shared it with the congregation. And he knew that they needed to receive $100,000 in order to complete this work. And he told the congregation what God told him and said, by Resurrection Sunday, we're going to have that $100,000. So the news traveled and spread abroad, and the newspaper got wind of it. And on Resurrection Sunday, they even put it in the paper. This preacher says God's going to give him $100,000 on Resurrection Sunday. At that time, it was unheard of. So they came in and they brought their cameras because they wanted to film this. They wanted to make a fool out of him. So Resurrection Sunday, they come in and they come in with their cameras. And they're all lined up. So they take up the offering. And after they take up the offering, they go back to count it. At this point, the camera people, the news media, they're getting ready to leave. And he's like, where are you going? We're going to go ahead and leave now. No, you're going to stay. You're going to stay and you're going to see God work. God's going to do a miracle. So the people went in the back and started counting. Then one or two people come out and they come out with this tape. And they hand the tape to Pastor Ron. And he says his sister is sitting on the front row. And she says within herself, Lord, even if it's not 100,000, let him say 100,000 because of the media that was there. Well, he looked at the tape and saw it wasn't 100,000. It wasn't less than 100,000. It ended up being, I think I said 144,000 last time, but I think it was like $148,000 that the Lord gave them in that offering. And that had to shut the media up, and it let the people know that they could trust God, they could step out in faith, and God would move on their behalf. In the process, God began to break forth in miracles for the people. Everyone that sacrificed, everyone that brought a resurrection seed offering, they all experienced miracle healing victories. God moved on their behalf. Since that time, that was 30 years ago. And still to this day, miracles happen. Not because of Pastor Rod. It's because of the people honoring God's son and honoring God for what he did. So what I want you to do is to seek the face of God. Ask him, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you desire for me to do? And what he tells you to do, do it. This is not a game. This is not fundraiser. This is between you and the Lord. You need him to move on your behalf. Do it. Well, I've done it in times past and I haven't seen anything. Well, you're like Pastor Rod in that chair saying, Lord, it's not working. Tell him. It's not like he doesn't know. But tell him, Lord, I need you to do something here. And then watch him do it. Why? Because we're at a point now where we want something much more than what we currently have. Can't fit all of Antioch in this building. have like what? 15 more months on this lease, if that. Let's see, how many more months to May? There's April, then there's May. Okay, so two plus. So we got 14 more months on this lease. And unless these new owners start to lean in our favor, we won't be here in 14 more months. We'll start looking, and we'll go to the place that God opens up the door for us to come into. It'd be nice to buy a building, or at least buy some land. Amen? So in this resurrection seed, we're sowing towards the next place that God would have us. And if God says, I want you here, but I want you to knock this wall down because I want to expand, then that means the bald people next door, they got to move. Amen? Or who knows? Four Star might move out. Or God may say, it's time to fly. It's time to move on to the next place. But it's got to be better than this. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to sow with that expectation. And whatever your personal need is, you sow towards that. But know that as a congregation, this is what we're believing God for. The next place. Hallelujah. Not just the next place to occupy a building, but for the souls that the Father is sending. Amen? Amen. So, we'll share more with you this coming Sunday and in the upcoming days. But you seek the Father. Lord, what seed would you have me sow in honor of Jesus and what he's done? Because I want to honor you. Hallelujah. And watch God break forth in miracles. We'll have to have some testimonies of those who have been blessed through the resurrection seed. Just to let you know that it's real and it's effective. It not only affects World Harvest, but it affects us too. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for listening. Hallelujah. Those are your announcements for Wednesday night. Anything else going on this week? Special ops this Saturday. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Special ops team, I pray that some of those will join the prayer walk, will join you. Share with them. Maybe they'll be bold enough to go out. Hallelujah. So, special ops this Saturday. Anything else? In the mighty and precious name of Jesus. It's okay, fellas. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Is everyone given? Okay. Y'all hanging out with us tonight? You get all of 9 minutes. Okay. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning with verse 1, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For those who don't know what the word epistle is another word for letter, as if you're writing a letter to someone. So Paul is stating we don't need to commend ourselves or brag and boast about ourselves, and we don't need written letters of recommendation from you or to you to prove who we are. He says your lives are a written epistle. Your lives are a letter. A letter is a piece of paper with communication or words on it, sent from one person to another to communicate something to them. And this is how Paul sees, or not just Paul, but This is how our lives are, as a letter to be read by men. Our lives are formed through the words of God. As we hear, as we read and study, as we pray and as we seek, God's words enter into our heart and start to change and transform our lives. But it's not just his words coming to us. His Spirit lives and abides within us. And what the Spirit of the living God is doing on the inside of us is taking what God had inscribed upon stone and then molding it within us so that our lives become a reflection of his word. We are a word to be read by men. We got to see ourselves as such, not just as human beings or mere mortals, if you will. We used to be that before we came to Jesus Christ, but now, after having received Jesus, Jesus comes in. He says, I'm moving in. I'm not staying on the outside. I'm moving in you. And as I am on the inside of you, this is what I'm doing to you. So when you read the scriptures and when you hear the word of God, you understand what Jesus is doing on the inside of you. So now you can cooperate with him. No fight, no struggle, no resistance. Complete understanding that this is what God is doing on the inside, because after all, he is the word made flesh. And now that word comes to us and it transforms our minds to start to think like God, because this is the way God is. On the 401 Apostolic Prayer Connect today, we were talking about the Torah. It came up, and Pastor Rob was talking about the Torah and the Talmud while we were in Columbus as well. And as we were talking, because one of the pastors got a word, and he said, God has given me a word, and it is conquering peace. And he said, it's the conquering peace, the kind of peace that when Jesus was walking on the water and the disciples were in the boat. When Jesus was asleep in the boat and they were out there and this storm came and the waves were boisterous and the wind was boisterous, the disciples woke Jesus up and they're like, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? And so they raise him up by waking him up, and then Jesus stands up and first of all he says, oh ye a little faith. And then he does something. He speaks to the wind and to the waves, and he says, peace, be still. That was his rebuke to them. And that peace that Jesus spoke calmed the storm. It caused the waves to calm, and it caused the wind to cease. And they immediately got to the other side. That conquering peace, if you will. And so, while he was sharing that, what started leaping up in my spirit is the word shalom. And so we talk about the word shalom, and I recall that I had this Bible that is written called the One New Man Bible, and Sid Roth, I don't know whether he put it together or whether he partnered with someone to put it together, but it goes back to the Jewish roots in order to help believers to understand the teachings of God's word. And in it, it said this. It says, Christians don't really understand the word Torah because they don't see it. But in the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant, it's written over hundreds of times, 200 times, I believe, in both Old and New. And so he says, the word Torah is translated in the Hebrew and Greek as the word law. And so when we see law, we immediately draw back because, well, we're no longer under the law. But he says, Torah doesn't mean law in the sense of Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Torah means teaching and instruction on how to live. So you can't say or back away from saying, well, that's the law. We're no longer under the law. No, that's teaching and instruction for godly living, which is what we ought to embrace. Not resist, but embrace. Why? Because it's instructing us in the ways of God as to how to live this life that he's called us to live to. If we were to go down one by one of each one of the Ten Commandments, we would see that they're still valid today. Because it's not in the sense of law, command, obey, or die. It's instructions. Don't have another God before me. That's still valid. That is a good thing because there's only one true and living God. And God, through his prophets, say all others are idols and idols are nothing but devils. So what is he saying? Don't worship any other God because you'll be worshiping the devil. No matter how he dresses himself up or disguises himself, no matter what form, all others are devils. We're not supposed to be disobedient to our parents. The first command with the promise is children, obey your parents. So because we're in this new covenant, does that mean we don't have to obey our parents now? I saw a child disobey their parent and put it out there for everybody to see and read. And my heart grieved for the parent. We're not perfect, but nevertheless, we're parents. And the reason we're parents is to be guardians. The reason we're guardians is to protect. To protect and preserve and make sure that you fare well in life. It's the only command with the promise. It's the first commandment with the promise that you may live long and do well. You want to shorten your days? Rebel against your parents. Well, they ain't perfect. You aren't either. You don't know what they did. Doesn't matter. They could have aborted you. But they had you. So Torah means teaching. And where it's translated law, it gives a negative connotation, especially to these greasy grace people. I'll say his name again, like Joseph Prince. I can't believe this guy. I'm laying on the bed, half asleep, but my spirit is alert. And I hear him teaching, saying, well, don't say this and don't say that. Don't mention the name holy because people will turn away. Our God is holy. He's called us to be holy. He says, be ye holy because I am holy. And you're going to let some pretty looking like a woman guy tell you don't say that word because you're going to repentance. It'll preach repentance. Well, don't say that because you'll offend and you'll hurt people. I was sharing with Sister Lauren today. This girl, she's about 30 years old. She was raised up by two mommies. So she's 30 years old, and now she puts out and says, I don't agree with same-sex marriage. Boy, that upset the gay community. They come all out, and they're like, and yeah, that's just your opinion, and what you think. It is wrong. And it'll never be right, no matter who says it is. It's wrong because God says it's wrong. Because in his teachings and his instructions, he never intended for a man to be with a man or a woman to be with a woman. It's unnatural. It violates the very laws of nature. And they're trying to push Christians into this corner to where, you know, if you say something that God says and it goes against what they think and what they believe, you're intolerant. God is intolerant. God is intolerant. I'd rather stand on God's side and be intolerant than to stand on man's side and be in danger of hell, fire, and brimstone. So Torah is teaching. And when we read the word of God now, we have to read it with the understanding that God is on the inside working this out in us. Does not the Bible say it is God who worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure? Therefore work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That message will never get old. That message will never be outdated. It will never be obsolete, because you always have a generation coming up dead in trespasses and sins and have need of this word of life. We have need of this word of life, the bread of life. If we don't receive this word, we will die and we will perish for all eternity. But if we receive the word, we believe in the word that we receive, we are saved. And then God says, guess what? What? I'm moving in. Moving in where? I'm moving not just in this building. That's the Shekinah glory coming down upon his people to let them know he's in the midst. But he's talking about moving into our individual lives. And it's like, open that door, because I'm coming in. I'm coming in, and then I'm letting you know what I'm doing on the inside of you, so you can cooperate with me, and together we can make sweet melody. Together we can carry out my plan and purpose and will. Don't get caught up into this present world. Don't get caught up into wealth and riches and fame and fortune. Don't get caught up in that. You might have it, don't let it have you, because it'll take you out of my will. And if you get out of my will, you're lost. There's no hope. There's no other Savior. There's no other salvation. So don't fight with God, and don't fight with his word. It's simply teaching and instruction to help you. Don't resist. Don't be stoic, stiff-necked, rebellious against God, because you understand the effects of a rebellious child. It is not fun. It's nothing like having a rebellious child, because that's your own flesh and blood. And to have them, you nurture them from a baby when they couldn't do anything for themselves, to a toddler. And from a toddler to an adolescent, from an adolescent to a teenager, and teenager to a young adult, and until they're able to stand on their own two feet, and then they stand on their own two feet and look at you and say, I hate you. Oh. Just look at your name and say, oh. No, that's not the way they're supposed to be raised up. They're supposed to be raised up and call you blessed. They're supposed to be raised up and say, thank you. Thank you for watching over me. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for disciplining me. I hated it when you did it, but now I understand it and I appreciate it. I wish you would have spanked me a little bit more. No, I agreed when I saw that, because it's like, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know how much you're feeding into the devil's plan. On the other hand, Team.